correct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the confirmation hearings. Ketanji Brown Jackson, eminently qualified. I think she did a very, very fine job, conducted herself with dignity. She's not a wild-eyed nut. She has long credentials, served in the district, federal district court, federal court of appeals. The only other U.S. Supreme Court justice who has served on the federal district court before going to the federal court of appeals is Sotomayor. The only other one. What's going on here politically? And then I'm going to talk about a little of the questioning, which I can tell you, as tough as the Senate thinks it is, was just frankly flat out abusive and foolish. Most lawyers looking at that, and the average layman looking at that is appalled, but the average lawyer looking at it, we get it. But it is a major mistake what they're doing. But here's the deal. There are 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. Right now, 6 of them are Republicans, very ardent Republicans, very ardent Republicans. After Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Comey Barrett, and then you have Alito, Clarence Thomas. Somehow, on some cases, Roberts has flipped over with the Democrats, but very rarely. So it's 6-3, basically. And you have Sotomayor and Kagan as 2 of the Democrats or liberals. The third one, Breyer, and Ketanji Brown Jackson was a law clerk to Breyer. So she knows Breyer. She knows him very, very well. And Breyer's been a solid vote, and she would be a solid vote. So why are the Republicans doing this? And why do I think there's an old saying? There was a French statesman in the 19th century named Talleyrand who once said about something, it's worse than a crime, it's a blunder. You can say that about Vladimir Putin, what he's doing in Ukraine. It's worse than a crime, it's a blunder. And I think what the Republicans are doing with Ketanji Brown Jackson is worse than a crime, it's a blunder. And here's why. One of the reasons in the back of their mind, you know, right now, Clarence Thomas had checked into the hospital with some problems. I don't know his medical history part, whatever it is. But the guy has been on the bench for about 30 years. He's no spring chicken. So he's not ancient. You have some of these guys in their 80s on the bench, but he's getting along in years. He's long of tooth. He's very long of tooth. He no longer has his salad day. I hate to use trite things, but the guy is old. If something happens to him and Biden gets another appointment, and he puts through Ketanji Brown Jackson, another Democrat, then it's 5-4. Then Roberts becomes the swing vote on some things. And you ride off into the future, and everything is not as secure as they think it is. Originally, they said nice things about Ketanji Brown Jackson, thinking, well, all right, she'll get nominated and confirmed, then it's 6-3. That's a solid majority. Well, there's nothing solid, believe me. And especially with Clarence Thomas in the hospital. So suddenly they're unloading. And I didn't obviously watch the whole hearing, but I'll tell you what. You take a look at Lindsey Graham. You take a look at Cruz. You take a look at Hawley and some of these guys. What they would do is shout at her and accuse her, and frequently things that had nothing to do with her, interrupt her, speaking in response, giving any answers, and then saying that's all, or stalking away. They gave a speech, and frequently it was racially tinged. And for instance, you have somebody like Lindsey Graham shouting at her about Guantanamo and shouting about Guantanamo and shouting about pornography. Then you have Hawley shouting about pornography. Then you have Cruz shouting about critical race theory. They just bring this stuff up. They bring it up. Now, the reason why I think that's a mistake, it's worse than a crime, it's a blunder, is the average person looks back at this and the average voter and thinks, you know, seems like a nice person. You know, she's not, you know, involved in any of that stuff. One of the worst was, I think it was Lindsey Graham was shouting about the Kavanaugh nomination. and saying, you know, weren't you disgusted by the Kavanaugh nomination? All these Democrats accusing him of sexual misconduct, which he didn't do. And that's terrible. We're tired of that. She, you know, and she wasn't there for the Kavanaugh nomination. She had nothing to do with it. And she tries to gasp, well, yeah, I don't know anything about that. But what they do is mind brand. They mind brand by repetition and by the appearance of a dramatic scene, and they mind brand. So the average person comes away, maybe riled up if they agree with them on some issues, and thinking this person is the antithesis of that. Well, that's not true. Actually, Ketanji Brown Jackson is kind of a sort of moderate to conservative lifestyle. She really does. And she isn't out demonstrating and doing all this stuff. Actually, by marriage, I don't know how it works, but I think by a short tail relative, Paul Ryan's wife, Jenna, somehow through some series of brothers-in-laws and sister-in-laws is somehow related to Ketanji Brown Jackson. And Paul Ryan came out and endorsed her, said she's a terrific person. The other thing I would have done if I were she, I think she was so stunned that senators would act this way. I am not stunned by many things. And I would have said, I mean, here's one thing she could have said. Lindsey Graham at one point said, well, when you were on the district court, you ruled this way on this criminal case, and your judicial philosophy then is suspect or something. And I would have said, Senator, with all respect, when I was nominated for the Court of Appeals, I'd already made that decision, and you spoke in my favor and voted for me, and I appreciate that. That's, you know, if it was good enough back then, why isn't it good enough now? You see what I'm saying? Okay, we're going to the lines. Dick and Madison, my friend. Thanks, Quinn. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, speak of blunders, how about Putin's blunder? And here's something that I see a parallel between him and Trump. Putin, now in less than a month or about a month, they're saying that he's lost as many people in the Ukraine, in his army, as he lost, the Russians lost in 10 years in Afghanistan. I don't see how this goes on. But he lived in a bubble. He fooled a lot of people over there. And Trump, here's the parallel. This guy made a lot of people come out of the woodwork that hadn't voted in years, maybe ever, and made them buy into stuff, a snake oil salesman that wasn't really good for them, like a huge tax break for corporate, all kinds of things. He didn't do anything for any of these people who still, some of them, insist on backing the man. Now, I see it crumbling in Russia. You got all, even his, from what I'm hearing, hierarchy in the military in Russia are starting to, hey, wait a minute. Their economy's shot. The ruble's worth nothing. I think this thing, personally, is going to be over sooner than later.
Yeah, you're making a lot of good points. And let me tell you, and one of the things that truly concerns me about Trump, right now, he is in the polls ahead of all the other Republicans for the nomination for 2024. Now, the problem with that is the other Republicans are on life support. Most of them are so bizarre, if you saw them enter a room, you'd run screaming the other way. You know, DeSantis, Hawley, Cruz. I mean, none of these guys are normal, and they're not going to get elected to anything, and they should tumble to that fact. So Trump, simply because he was president at one time and he has name recognition and they don't, it's okay. Well, I'll tell you what, go with Trump. Now, let's say he gets nominated. Let's say he gets confirmed. Right now, he and Biden are essentially tied in the polls within the margin of error. That's very common with an incumbent president. An incumbent president is in the news every day, taking the hard shots, having to make the hard decisions. And people can go, nobody's going to like every decision everybody makes. Nobody's going to like every decision everybody makes. So right now, oh, yeah, we may look back at the other guy. The problem with this other guy is he's a Russian agent. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not the kind of guy that just goes around and saying that. He said when he was president that he was considering taking us out of NATO. Putin, one reason he didn't invade when Trump was there was because he had been assured that Trump was going to take us out of NATO. If Trump takes us out of NATO, there are only two European countries that have nuclear weapons, France and Britain. And in Britain, the Labour Party had advocated for dismantling the nuclear weapons. They only have a few of them. France has nuclear weapons, but France has a green, they have all these parties. If, let's give you an example, if the Russian army went into Poland, for instance, or Lithuania or Latvia or Estonia, are France and Britain going to launch nuclear weapons? No. Are they going to unleash their fleet against the Ruskies? Yeah, they will. Will they unleash their air forces? Yes. But if Trump is president, he'll side with Putin. You have to understand something. Biden has three enemies in this. Putin, the Putin Republicans, and Germany, because they have a green/socialist government that just recently doubled their defense appropriations, which were woefully short. But you have essentially pacifists. And it would be very easy without the United States for the Ruskies to go back into Eastern Europe. And if they do that, we've given up all our accomplishments in the last 50 years. So Trump cannot be permitted to become president for a lot of reasons, not just corporate tax breaks, but also because in foreign policy, he's an isolationist. When he talks about America first, I do too, but I have a very, very different idea of it. America, it's our values, our constitution, our economy, and our military all in one. We are a fair and decent and good country. Everybody wants to come here. We are the preservers. We're the sheriff. We are the preservers of liberty around the world. Right now, there's no liberty in China. It's a communist country, or North Korea. There's no liberty right now in Russia. The Iron Curtain's come down. There's no liberty in a lot of the jihad, any of the jihadist countries. America is it. He would take us back to an isolationist period. That we can't have. That we simply can't have. Going to a break. There's a lot more to talk about Ukraine and other things when we come back. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire.
Listen to your favorite political talkers no matter where you are. 92.7 FM in Madison and Eastern Dade County. 1580 AM Columbus, north of Madison, and for daytime east-west commutes on I-94. 101 FM in the Shaw. And 540 AM covering eastern Wisconsin all day and covering the Milwaukee Metro, the Wild Counties, Racine, and Kenosha 24-7. Download the free Devil Radio app for your smartphone and take both stations with you everywhere. No excuses, just listen.